This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
This is a three-show month.
Oh, cool. Kick ass.
I know y'all are so excited about that.
If you're looking for uncut, call me.
Thanks if for you're listening. A redneck, call me. And good night to Doc. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name is Gus Garza. I'm from the program by London, Texas. I want to invite everybody to a second annual benefit dance for KPFT 90.1 Friday, December the 7th from 8 o'clock on at Bees Island Club, 2719 South Ritchie in Houston. Four groups of Tejano music. Donations $5 all night, so get there early because it's going to be good. 21 and older, make sure you make this and don't be left out and say, I didn't know anything about it. Second annual benefit dance for KPFT
Houston.
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Tonight, we honor World AIDS Day 2007.
The harder we play, the faster we fall. When we think that we know it all, we know nothing at all. The letter arrives like a bomb from the blue. So what's left of your lives? All your dreams lost to you. Say it ain't true.
please give a very warm welcome to Kevin May.
I'm not going home for Christmas anymore. Do you people find this to be true? Because your family gets you the worst Christmas gifts imaginable. Last year was the worst. I got one of these showerhead massagers. Have you seen these? And most people say, you know, Kevin, that's a pretty nice gift. And I guess it is. But the problem is that we live on the 17th floor of a high rise and our water pressure is really low. So whenever I put that thing on pulsate, it feels like someone's spitting on me, literally, you know? And there's just nothing like a big old wet honker on the back of your neck at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know it? Thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. Oh, God. And, of course, I was responsible for a little Christmas gift faux pas this past year that I'm not very proud of. Apparently, one of the gifts to my friends got mixed up with my great-grandmother's gift, and she got the silver-plated butt plug. Oh, my God. It's so hard going to the home to see her. She has it displayed on top of a television set. She thinks it's a work of art. And I guess to some, it is. Great. I'm very happy. I've been in a relationship to a man that I'm very much in love with for the last 5 years of my life, and I'm very proud of that, to sustain that relationship. And it's so important, I think it's important to show our relationships. So I wear the wedding band of my partner. Of course, the diamonds are really small in it because I don't swallow. But, no. No. See, I was raised Catholic, and we don't believe in that sort of thing, okay? It's you Baptists that get the big diamonds. You know who you are. Yeah. Yeah, you know. The little Miss Tammy Faye Bakers of the world out there. You know who you are. It's the man that I'm in love with, and you'll get a chance to meet him in a minute. He's a co-star on the show. And I think the toughest time in our relationship came right after we met about 5 years ago. I actually found out that I was HIV positive and that I had AIDS. And I was so shocked when I found that out that I was positive, because people always told me I was so negative, you know, and you just don't think about it, you know? But, oh my God, and I was so sick. I was in the hospital. It was terrible. And I was not a good hospital patient. I kept trying to get up and out of bed. And finally, the nurse said, "Look, Kevin, you need to stay in bed. We'll get you everything that you need. Just press the button." It's like staying at the Hilton. I was like, yeah, right. Excuse me, but the last time I stayed at the Hilton, nobody snuck into my room at 2 o'clock in the morning and gave me an enema. Okay? So, okay, maybe once, but That's a whole nother show, okay? But it is. It's scary. It really is. And it's just amazing. And all the new drugs that are out for AIDS, it just really is amazing. It's amazing that people, we can really say that we're living with AIDS and not dying from it. And I'm very proud to say that. And I know. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I know in my heart that AIDS will not be the thing that kills me. I just know it. In fact, you know, I'm taking all the drugs that are available. There's so many drugs that I have to take, there's not room in my makeup bag for anything else. Actually, it's like, should I take the AZT or the eyeliner pencil? What would Michael Jackson do? Eyeliner pencil, let's go. Hey, it's true. But I just got back from the doctor last week for my monthly checkup, and my T cells have doubled, which is very exciting. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. I was excited. Now I have two of them, you know, and which I've named Thelma and Louise. Yeah, two bitches that won't give up, you know. I'm sure if there's such a thing as a lesbian T-cell, I've got it. It's just hanging on for dear life, basically. But, no, it's hard telling people that you're gay. It's even harder telling people that you're HIV positive. I mean, Hallmark does not make a card for this occasion. I'm here to tell you, man. But one of the nice things about being HIV positive, your doctor gives you the best drugs. I'm just not sure if he should be selling them to me out of the back of his trunk or not. But, and I think it's important for us to make those arrangements just in case anything does happen to us. It doesn't have to be AIDS or whatever. And I've had all those talks with the family and the friends. And I told my partner, I said, "Sweetheart, if anything ever does happen to me, please don't make an AIDS panel quilt out of my name." And I have a lot of respect for the AIDS panel project. I mean, a lot of people have worked hard on that. But you guys know me by now. Don't you think I'm more of a throw pillow kind of person? Really? A little tasteful fringe around it or something. I don't know. And I don't want one of those cutesy memorial services, too, where everybody lets off a helium balloon, says a poem. That's corny. And that eternal flame thing, that's been done before. I'm pretty sure about that. Now, I think for me, I just want like an eternally smoldering cigarette in an ashtray in some corner over there. You know? Yeah, that's more me. that's more me. But I have made those arrangements, and I think if something does happen, I want to be cremated, which Catholics don't believe in cremation. But I tell you, in my family, a funeral is just another reason to have a major buffet, basically, is all it is. I mean, there is so much food, and in my family, you have to be laid out in the family foyer in your coffin. I'm thinking, man, there's not going to be enough room for all the food. They'll have me laying in my coffin holding a bowl of potato salad, for God's sakes, you know? They'll be passing by. Doesn't Kevin look great? Is that Aunt Gertrude's potato salad right there? Oh, my family is so white trash people, you just wouldn't believe it. So I've made those decisions, and I'm going to stick with them, by God. But you guys have been a great crowd. My name is Kevin May. Thanks for coming out.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, where you're all dicking on the strand, and the rest of the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. A second, that thing annoys me. Stop. There we go. The clock tells me how long I've been talking, and I don't need to know that. It works against my egotism. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your producer for this evening. Jimmy is right now shacking up with a woman.
Scandalous.
Yeah, he said he was in his pajamas already when I talked to him earlier, and it's like, what pajamas? You don't wear pajamas.
Thank you for that visual.
Oh. Well, luckily, we'll have the visual and not Lois. Hi, Lois! Jimmy, of course, was going down to Dickens on the Strand today, and he's pooped.
I haven't done that in a couple of years.
Well, starting off the show tonight, traditionally in December, we do Christmas music.
Yes.
But since we consider ourselves a Saturday show, and Saturday being World AIDS Day, decided to start with something a little different. And you may not recognize the band we played first. Mm. At least the first half of the song. Mm. The official name of the band is Queen plus Paul Rodgers. It is the surviving members of Queen with new frontman Paul Rodgers. And the song is called Say It's Not True. This is the first new recording from Queen in 10 years.
Yeah.
That they have put out. Now, this song has been around for a couple of years. They've only performed it live, but this is the first time it's been recorded as a single. And it's in honor of, based off of their fact, they're ambassadors to Nelson Mandela's 46664 HIV AIDS Global Campaign. The song called Say It's Not True came to light after the launch of the campaign back in 2003. Hmm. Taylor, what's his first name?
Roger.
Roger Taylor, yeah. I'm trying to read it from a distance here. he wrote the song as a gift to Mandela and performed it live for him at the first time back in 2003. And like I said, this is the first time that it has been recorded. Yeah. If you like the song, you can download it for free. Go to queenonline.com and you can get your own copy of the song there.
That is definitely one of those bands where it's just a little weird to not have, you know, Freddie Mercury fronting any, you know.
I think that's part of why they call their new incarnation Queen plus Paul Rogers.
Yeah.
Because of that. You know, I was having fun going through the website waiting for that link to come up for that thing and seeing, you know, it'd be nice to see if they bring the musical based off of Queen. Mm. We Will Rock You to the States. Be an interesting thing. Second part we played there was some of the comedy of Kevin May, who was a local comedian here who passed away from AIDS 9.5 years ago.
Mm. It's been so long.
Yeah, I had to do a little research to find that out. I've been kind of thinking about it because of with getting Logo now, there was a special on gay comedians, and Scott Kennedy was on there, and Scott was Kevin May's partner both on and off the comedy stage. And Scott talked about Kevin, because all the male comedians were talking about their work with various HIV/AIDS charities, and Scott talking about Kevin was kind of touching, so I had been thinking about it for the past month or so, and when I knew when World AIDS Gay came, I needed to. I wanted to put something together like that for a while, and fortunately we got that. So, after this, we will be playing Christmas music for the rest of the month, but not your traditional Christmas music, as you'll soon find out. Trust me.
Christmas with a twist.
Yeah, some of it's traditional Christmas music. Some of it is traditional Christmas music with a twist, because we've got some, you know, the classics, but sung like, where else are you going to hear a punk version of White Christmas?
Hey.
And then, of course, we get the certain Christmas songs like, oh, one's coming up later, like Chicken Hawk is Coming to Town. Just little things we find. So
Little tidbits.
Let me throw a few little news items out here before we get to the Cults. Focus on Dalton DeHart, our community photographer, past, present, and future. A special evening of celebration will be on Thursday, December 6th, from 6 to 8:30 at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Brainard. It's a $30 at the door. Sponsorships are available for those. It's a it's an honor of Dalton DeHart's 30 years in the photography biz and the kickoff to the construction of the Montrose Counseling Center's new facilities. At their new location at 401 Brainard.
They're adding to stuff?
Well, they're just remodeling some of the portions.
I haven't been inside the new building ever, so.
Yeah, they're going to have a community meeting and event area. So there's going to be, dress for the event is business casual or construction motif. So come as your favorite village person and or manager. Southern Country Houston holds its annual holiday party on December 13th at 7:30 at the BRB. It's the event of the year, and each year the feast of food grows and grows and grows. The BRB is located at, 2400 Brazos, right across from the Big Rabbit Store.
Rabbit Store Specs.
Okay, Merry Christmas to you all. Okay, it may be just a bit early for that, but it's time to make your dollars work by helping the PWA Holiday Charities raise all important funds for those in need. This year alone, our Thanksgiving handout grocery gift cards cost over $24,000 and were distributed to 1,650 people on the Stone Soup list. We need to, with this in mind, come to the PWA Holiday Charities Christmas Show on Sunday, December 9th at 7 p.m. at the Brazos River Bottom. Limited tables are available on a first come basis for $100. You can contact Don Gill for more information at 713-385-4259. Imperial Court of Houston, Space City Empire presents Goodbye 2007, Hello 2008, A Year in Review on Monday, December 31st at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. A light buffet at 7, a show at 8, traditional champagne toast at midnight, and black-eyed peas and so on. The show is going to benefit Rain 6 beneficiary of Baring Omega Community Dental Clinic and Hospice, with 15% going to the Lexi Bowen Community Fund. Of course, tomorrow they will, ICOH is also doing a breakfast at Mary's, naturally. What else do I got here real quick? Okay, that's weird. I'm hearing myself on the 8-second delay in there, so during the quiet period, I'm hearing myself say Mary's in the other room, and I already have enough. I already have enough of a split personality. Now I get a third split. I don't know what I'll read. Let's just go to the Colts. Bring them on in. Your mics are on.
Hello. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. I'm Corwin, the president of the Colt 45s. We've also got Steven, the vice president of the Colts. And we've got Dan, who is our treasurer.
And hiding in the back.
We have
John Dye, a.k.a. for those of you out there who don't know him, which maybe there's three people in the world who don't know him. Bubbles. Say hi, Bubbles.
Hi.
He's shy.
You were expecting the traditional, he was going to say hi, Bubbles, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. You know, I know that it's almost the end of the year, and there's those 5 weeks a year that Jimmy is on the radio and not on vacation or taking some sort of personal leave, and I realize that we're approaching that time. I'm sorry that he couldn't be here tonight, and he's down dicking on the strand. Dickens on the strand, so he's having fun. Uh-oh.
Yep. So.
What?
Nothing. Yep. I think Corbin, we'll talk a little bit about our Christmas show.
Yeah, we've got Colt 45s. You're doing a Christmas show coming up December 16th at the BRB starting at 7 p.m. It's going to be benefiting the Colt 45s AIDS Trouble Fund. We're going to have a great show. We're also going to present our Colt 45 Community Awards, which is the Danny Vila Award, which is named for a hard worker in the inspiration of the Colt 45's AIDS Trouble Fund. This award is given to an individual or group for their contribution and work into the community. We also have the BJ Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year Award. It's named after BJ Summers, the tireless entertainer who supported many causes in the fight against AIDS. This award given to a community performer for their support to the community during the year. We also have our Golden Colt Award. This award is given to an individual or group for their contribution and work benefiting and in the name of the Colt 45s. We're also going to have back again this year our fabulous Reese that led all the different clubs and organizations in our community and individuals who want to decorate their wreaths, bring them, and they will be judged. We will have a winner.
And Stanley buys them all.
And Stanley buys them all, usually.
He just doesn't know it.
And, yeah. And all of them will be auctioned off in a silent auction that night. So come on out, and let's have a lot of fun, and let's help support the AIDS Trouble Fund.
Yay.
Hey.
And I looked funny carrying three of them out of Mary's.
Yes.
But I didn't wear them very festively.
Yes, but you will be getting all those decorated, right?
Jimmy has two of them. One's for the radio show.
Yes.
One is for G-Cam.
Right.
And I took one for the Big Men's Club.
Good.
Did you talk about this already? No. PWA?
Oh, PWA?
PWA Holiday Charities, they have their...
Yes, briefly.
You did? Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, Sunday, December 9th, the weekend before that, we're lucky enough that the Colt 45's AIDS Trouble Fund clients receive a gift from PWA Holiday Charities. Something that Lady Victoria Lust started a long time ago. They do it in July, so we'll do it at Christmas. And they use our AIDS Trouble Fund client list to hand out a small token of something they can use during the Christmas time, just a little bit of mad money. And those get presented to the Colts and to those clients that day, so it's always a nice thing for the Colt 45s.
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Nothing. But thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to see you again.
I was here last month.
Well, you're here last month, but, you know, see, everybody here, they missed it because, and darn that Jimmy for not telling me until like a minute and 30 seconds before the end of the show that Chris had to run a whole 50 yards to get to the 8-second button. We could have had a lot more fun.
Oh, that's right. Last month we didn't have an 8-second button at all.
Yeah, at the very end, he said, well, you know, Chris has the 8-second button's not here. Chris would have to run down the hall for the 8 seconds. I said, you think he can make down the hall in 8 seconds? We'll see.
Like I would care.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, I've never been known to make a controversial statement on the air.
Oh, no, never.
No.
Not this month.
Yet.
Well, it is only the first day of the month, so.
Well, then let us do that for you.
They do have 7 words posted in here, don't they?
Be careful, because if Jimmy comes running up here...
Well, you know...
He is in pink.
He is in pink.
He's always
fuzzy shoes.
Well, you know...
Fuzzy slippers.
Normally, when somebody's not here, I always have to give them a little message and apologize that I missed them because they...
Yeah, well, go ahead. He may be listening.
Well, I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight, Jimmy. We miss you.
He'll come running up here, like I said, and he's in pink pajama bottoms and a T-shirt.
Hmm.
Well, he's only, what, 5, maybe 10 minutes away from here? So.
Well, it's not the pink pajama bottoms that I'm worried about. Is he wearing them or are you going to be carrying them? Well, it takes me back to when Jimmy and I first met during our lumberjack days.
He's 5 minutes away from here. He lives about 2 seconds away from me.
Yeah.
His lumberjack days?
Well, we'll talk about that later. That was, you know, that's when he used to go out and you know, collect wood. But we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Did they make pink flannel?
He just took the traditional red flannel and a little bleach.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's not pink. It's just a very light pastel red. That's why I keep telling people for years.
So we've got the wreath...
A wreath auction. Yes.
Wreath auction, that comes up in 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks.
Yep.
No pressure.
Well, I've already told the guys here I want some ideas from them. So I'm not doing what I did last year.
What, doing them all yourself?
Well, I came up with a cute idea. What I thought was a cute idea. And, you know, it was very difficult making that ribbons.
I've had 7 cups of coffee, so I have to talk a little bit. It's nice that so many people have so many different little themes, and I know that, you know, it's not as nearly as secretive as the Louis show, but there's a lot of people that have themes this year and last year, and I thought that there was one where somebody did coffee cups. As people started looking at the coffee cups, they were from places around the country that people wanted coffee cups from. It wasn't just coffee cups. You know, I guess I collect ashtrays, and they had coffee cups from some pretty good bars and pretty good casinos and stuff like that. So it was like, you never know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cute. And then there's the traditional, and there's the joke. But everybody puts a lot of work into it, a lot of thought, and represents their club. And we really appreciate that.
And if you want to sell highly, you make it pink, and Jimmy will be in a bidding war.
Yes.
Well, actually, I myself have a wreath this year, but I don't want to say it's a motif of pink angels. I don't know if that would interest anybody.
Nah.
Angels. Pink angels.
You know anybody who likes pink and likes angels? I don't know.
I think you'll just find a blank check sitting on that.
I say, can we just keep bidding against him? Just keep it going up yourself?
Sorry, Stanley.
Yeah, if Stanley only knew. blackmailing for Christmas.
I new Christmas song.
For charity.
Well, last year when we made the announcement, Stanley just called and he said, "Oh, you have the credit card. Go ahead and pay whatever you want." There were only like two people in the whole facility that didn't know who Stanley was and did not know who was bidding. So. And I believe we'll probably be able to accept plastic this year, too. So that'll be helpful for those people that need to pay their bar tabs as well as want to bid on wreaths. So that's
yes. Nice. Nothing like debt before the Christmas holidays.
part of it's
a good cause.
What's a little bit more debt of the holidays?
Debt usually after the holiday. I mean...
Well, you don't get your bill until after the holidays.
Yeah, you won't see it before Christmas.
There you go.
If you want to learn more about us and what's going on and everything else, you can always go to our website, which is www.cult45s.org. And we've got all sorts of stuff up there, photos of us and information of things that are going on and that has gone on in the past. So check it out and see what all is going on with the Cult 45s.
So just real quick, because there may be a new listener out there, what are the main things of what the cults will do?
Well, the main thing cults are doing right now is the AIDS Trouble Fund, which Stephen happens to be also the chairman of the AIDS Trouble Fund. We've got applications out all over the city. Plus, if you need them, you can always give us a call.
Or you can download it off the web.
Or you can download it off the website.
The new PDF.
Yay. Yes. And we have a hotline number, which is 713-526-6077. And what we do is we help people with AIDS cover their electric, their phone, their gas, or their rent, their utilities like that, so that they can have a little bit more help during the holiday time and throughout the year. So if there's somebody out there who is AIDS positive and needs to have some help, they're having a little hard time quite making it for the end of the month, each month, just give us a holler, and we'll see what we can do to help out.
All right. Once again, it's Colt. It's Colts.
Colts, COLT45S.org.
Okay. Thank y'all. We'll see you first show of the new year.
Yep.
Oh, we forgot to say, we also have another show. We have a show, okay. But we'll talk about that next time. January 13th, somebody's having a birthday.
Yes.
And it'll be in combination with the Colts and a lot of friends. It'll be a fundraiser for, oddly enough, what a segue, for Hatch.
13th,
isn't that Jimmy's? Birthday too?
Is that Jimmy's birthday too?
Around there, yeah.
Again, I thought he gave up birthdays.
Oh no, he's looking forward to his next one.
Yeah, it's right around the corner from mine too.
Oh really?
Yeah, Jimmy and I, our birthdays are, you know, a week apart and a century apart.
Oh wow.
And
you know, there's got to be a way he can put birthdays and spankings in some sort of fundraiser. Huh.
Yeah, who's got the arm strength to give Jimmy his birthday swats?
Well, we all take turns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or you got a machine you can...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll take 10. Steven can take 10. You know, we can just give them out that
way. You have enough members?
You tie the paddle to the bumper. Yeah. Tie the paddle to the bumper of the car and get a running start.
You know, those bones are just...
Yeah, he doesn't have an ass yet, so...
That's okay. You can use a soft leather paddle. It won't hurt his bones.
Maybe we could do a fun drive for collagen.
I've offered him one of my cheeks. Take the cheek off, turn it on the side, put it in the
outside. He's got more muscle in his arms than he's got in his butt.
A buttocks donor.
Yeah. All right, well, thank y'all.
Thank you.
Music, and we're back in with Hatch.
Yay.
And push this button.
Watch out, you better not try, you better not doubt, I'm telling you why. Chicken Hawk is coming to town. He's making a list, measures it twice, gonna find out whose penis he likes. Chicken Hawk is coming to town. You better watch out, you better not try, you better not doubt, I'm telling you why. Chicken Hawk is coming to town. He smiles and shows his dentures. He tosses you a wink, makes no suggestive gestures, and informs he's into kink. So you better watch out, you better not try, you better not doubt, I'm telling you why. Chicken Hawk is coming to town. Here he comes. And flirts with pickup lines. If you turn and ignore him, he'll offer money not to waste his time. So, you better watch out, you better not try, you better not doubt, I'm telling you why. Chicken Hawk is coming to town. He'll quit if you don't partake. Sometimes he's so relentless, so just leave for goodness sake. So you better watch out, you better not try, you better not doubt, I'm telling you why. Chicken Hawk is coming. A Chicken Hawk is coming. Chicken Hawk is coming to town.
Yes, I know I'm evil and wrong, but I had to play the song. I kept mentioning it, and no one said anything about it, so I figured it's the Go-Go Boys. Chicken Hawk's coming to town. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. We've got the Hatch group on. Before y'all start up, I wanted to... by the way, your mics are on, just so you know. In case one of you decide to speak. Yeah. got an email about the last Hatch show. From Jim. Said, the Hatch episode you broadcast a couple weeks ago was some of the most gripping radio I think I've ever heard.
Sweet deal.
It was a heart-wrenching one at the end, that you put a lot of yourselves into it, and I'm touched that you shared what you did with us, and I'm glad that we had a listener out there who appreciated that. So,
now that we're all getting dewy-eyed.
Oh, I wanted to add a note about the Pet Shop Boys. They also, the CD I told you about earlier, Homo for the Holidays, uh-huh. They did that one, I believe.
Oh, what, Homo Christmas?
Homo for the Holidays. Homo,
okay. I probably got one of the version of that. The Pet Shop Boys, Jimmy's is kind of a little, he's so tired of Go West that usually when he's not here, I pull it out and play that version. So. But no, like I said, we're going to be playing all weird Christmas music, so I'll be pulling out some other ones that are classics and not so classics, and at least favorites for the show.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to shut up and hand it over to y'all. It's time for Hatch.
Thank you. Welcome to Hatch Radio Show.
Hello, listeners. I'm Aja.
I'm Josh.
I'm Seth.
CJ.
All right, and I'm Christopher. Hatch is a GLBT organization here in Houston. Our Hatch line is
713-529-3590.
All right. What's our website, you guys?
www.hatchyouth.org.
Oh, I'm so impressed. All right. all right. Let's mention the GLBT switchboard number.
713-529-3211.
Mm-hmm. So impressed. All right. This evening, we're going to be talking about World AIDS Day. We're going to be talking about self-hatred and confusion, and we're all going to share our coming out stories. Because each one of us is very unique and very, very out. So,
out loud and proud.
Any more that we have to say about that?
No, I don't believe so.
I think we should give a shout out to Deb, our facilitator, who is sick. Many well wishes. Get better. We need Super Dyke to come back and keep us safe.
Oh, what happened to her?
She's
bronchitis.
Oh, bless her heart. Yeah. That's
she's
my mentor.
Austin in hospital. She's the reason I'm so super gay right now. She's everything, and she's gotta come back. All right, like soon. So keep her in your prayers and wishes and all that good stuff.
Totally. Let's keep her in our thoughts.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Asha, why don't you start us off with World AIDS Day and tell us what that's all about.
How about you, since that's really your thing?
Okay, yesterday, or today's business day, however you'd like to look at it, December 1st, Friday, is World AIDS Day. World AIDS Day is recognized internationally around the world. It was started for self-awareness, as Josh informed me earlier.
Mm-hmm.
AIDS is a devastating, it's kind of a catastrophe going around the world. In the 80s was when it escalated into something really, really big. And at first, no one knew, you know, really what it was and what it meant if you had it. At first, it was had a lot of stigma to it. If you had AIDS, you were gay. If you had AIDS, you were black. If you were black, you had AIDS. If you were gay, you had AIDS. Today, it's much, much different. We have a much more understanding of it. If you listen to radio stations, you'll hear that they're trying to target right now African-American women, because right now they're at stake the most for AIDS.
Yeah, but right now I believe it's African-American gay men that are the highest at risk.
That's true.
It's I believe it was the latest statistics that said that African-American gay men were at the highest risk.
That is true.
Yes. And also in 2007, a statistic has shown that as of 2001, the homosexual male population, the rate of infection has grown by 112% from 2001. And so basically that tells us how bad it is hitting our community and everyone around us.
Right, and it's not just hitting our community. One of the last times I was public speaking about safe sex is that, you know, these diseases affect everyone. AIDS and any STD or any, you know, incurable devastation that could happen to you affects any kind of community. And what's so devastating about it affecting the GLBT community is that whatever hits the norm, whatever hits the heterosexual community, affects the GLBT, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered community 10 times harder. You know, right now we've got Houston is in a state of emergency because of syphilis.
Yes.
And not many people know that. I didn't even know it until a few months ago. And that's actually a state of emergency, if I'm correct. That was stated by our mayor, Bill White. And so the best thing that not only educates about stuff, but also informs and prevents is awareness.
And I would like to point out that the areas in Houston that have been hit the hardest are Acres Home and Sunnyside, which I reside in, and both are predominantly black and Hispanic populated areas. So, just want to point that one out.
Right. So, awareness is, you know, pretty much the biggest factor in all of this, because at the very beginning of AIDS, it was who has it, what is it, what does it mean if you have it, and what happens. You know, we didn't know much about it when it first came about. But now we are much more educated about who gets it, what it means if you have it, and what you can do about it.
It's no longer the gay disease.
Yes. In the beginning, it was called GRID, which, if people don't know, AIDS was called GRID in the beginning because they named it that because it was an acronym for gay-related
immune deficiency.
And so later on, when they started seeing that it moved throughout all the population, that they realized that it wasn't just the gay community or the GLBT community, it was everyone. So it shows that it hit our community first, but it wasn't only our community.
they say that it hit the Haitian community first, and then it hit the hit gay men, and then it spread throughout the population as. And so basically, that's why it was called GRID.
Sweet deal.
So now we've gone from the very beginning, it was GRID, mm-hmm. and now here we are. And today, I actually heard an advertisement on the radio. Last night, I made a MySpace bulletin about World AIDS Day. And said, you know, just reminded everyone. You know, because, you know, MySpace, you know, most of the time you don't see anything too serious. If you're on my friends list every now and then, you'll see a cool bulletin about, you know, days you should remember and things like that. And a million and one surveys. But other than that, we have progressed so much about our education about AIDS. And the radio advertisement I heard today, the main platform of the advertisement was to say that you can still live if you have AIDS. It's not the end of the world anymore. You know, 20 years ago, you got diagnosed, and less than 3 months, you died. You know, we've transformed that. We've evolved from that state. It's still very devastating, of course, but it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of your time if you happen to be diagnosed and diseased with AIDS or HIV. And the best way to protect yourself is safe sex. The best way to prevent and to check up with yourself is always getting tested. Getting tested and doing good things. It doesn't matter if you're gay, it doesn't matter if you're straight, it doesn't matter if you're white, it doesn't matter if you're black. Get tested and oh, good Lord. Okay. Get tested and make good decisions.
Just get tested, don't you know?
Sorry, that's the drag queen and me coming out.
Oh, my goodness.
Drag queen from Texas. In other news, let's share our coming out stories.
Okay.
Who would like to begin? Seth, why don't you start? You look like you're so ready to share your story.
Well, why can't we just go in alphabetical order, Aja?
Fine.
Or I could go.
Okay. You know, go. Just go. Okay. Honey, I picked you, so all you right. have to go.
Well, kidding. I always like to say that I didn't really come out of the closet, that I got yanked out. Because when I was 14, I told my sister that I was bisexual, and she proceeded one night when she was inebriated to tell the whole family that I was gay, and that I only told her I was bisexual because I was cushioning the blow, or I was in denial.
Wow.
But she was kind of right about the denial part because, you know, I was like, at that point, no, I'm not all the way gay. I have sex with women. I can't be gay. That was one of my
sorry
more quote busy unquote stages of life. So I had the real fun of experience of coming out to each family member again, you know, when I finally came to the conclusion that I am gay, and it wasn't really that fun. Because since they all had heads up, they each had time to do some biased research on reasons why I might think I'm gay and how long they think it'll last and what I can do to snap out of this, quote, phase, unquote. And, I had to put up with these little speeches they had, and my aunt kept saying, oh, it's a phase. And my grandmother said that, you know, there was this guy I read about. He said that he thought he was gay because he felt different all the time when he was growing up. But he married and had kids. And I was like, I felt different, but I didn't feel I felt different because I knew that, you know, something was not right, that I wasn't like the other people. You know, I had to. It's like their denial was so much more so than mine. It took my dad a couple of years to come to terms with it himself. I remember when we were living in Corpus Christi, I introduced him to one of my best friends, Tristan, and he was like, Tristan carries herself a little heavy, doesn't she? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, is she a lesbian? I'm like, yes. And he's like, do you know what you are? And I'm like, yeah, I'm gay. I told you that. And he's like, oh. And then there was a long pause, and he's like, okay. After a while, he was okay with it. But all of the others were like, all the others that are Christian, they're like, we still love you, just know that we don't condone that type of behavior. Like, you know, like it's something that I really have control over. Anyway, that's my story.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. I just want—I want you to state your name so people have an identity to what your story was.
You already know I'm Seth.
No, okay. Tell them that you're Seth.
I'm Seth, and that was my coming out story.
Oh, thank you.
Good stuff. Who would like to share next?
I will.
All right, CJ.
Thanks, buddy. Okay, I'm CJ. Approximately 4 or 5 years ago, I was also yanked out of the closet as a lesbian. And what happened was, is basically I met a friend in speech class, and he was obviously flamboyantly gay. And I confided in him, you know, that the fact that I like females. And we became friends, and we hung out a lot. And then he developed a crush on my sister's boyfriend. And my sister and basically had a fight with him, and he went and he told my best friend's mom that I was a lesbian, and my mom that I was a lesbian, and basically that's how that happened. My father said it was also a phase. He's now becoming a little bit more adjusted to it. And my mother, she basically knew all along that there's something different about me and my sexual preference. And my sister, she's okay with it too. She's actually defended me quite a few times. And recently I've started identifying myself as a transgendered female. Well,
female to male.
FTM, basically. And I've told my sister, and she's kind of weirded out by it. I told my mother, and she supports me 100%. My father, I'm kind of hesitant to tell him. And my life partner, I've told her, and she's backing me up 100%, which is great. Mm. It was really hard to tell her. It took me a long time. But I finally got it out. And she confided in me that she'd also felt that way, but she decided that she wanted to stay, you know, a lesbian. So that's my coming out story.
That's a beautiful story. You should name that There's Something About CJ.
Visionary.
Something About CJ. I think that's wonderful. Right. Guys.
Chris is next.
No, I don't want to be next. Oh, we're going in a line. No.
Yes, we're going in a line.
Semicircle.
All right, Chris's coming out story. Wow. Everyone in this room, with the exception of CJ, because I recently just met you, y'all all knew me as who I was before.
I didn't.
Okay, you didn't. Jeez. Okay, so 2 out of the 4 people, other than myself in this room, met me as Christina. When I walked into Hatch, I definitely walked into Hatch, I think in stiletto boots and a skirt. I was a femme lesbian, and there was always something different about me. The way that I grew up, I was the tomboy wearing stilettos. I was the skateboarder playing with flowers. I was always very different. And when I was 15, I went to my mother and I said, Mom, guess what? Love isn't about gender. I'm gay. And it was a huge platform because it wasn't like I was gay because I liked women. It was because I had recognized at a very young age that, you know, love and identity wasn't about gender. Less than a year later, when I was 16, I told the very first person I ever told that I was transgendered. I was not a femme lesbian. I wasn't a lesbian at all because I was a man. And at 16, you know, not only do you have the trials of, like, going through what a teenager goes through, of, you know, experiencing what a teenager experiences, you know, you have all these different factors. So at 16, I decided this is too much. I cannot go through with this. I cannot do it. You know, I must be entirely insane. I must have lost my mind, and it's too scary, and I'm too scared. And I told myself, I made a promise. I said, if and when I turn 18, if I still feel this way, I will change my life. And when I turned 18, from 16 to 18, I lived as a femme lesbian, was a huge GLBT activist, and most of my activism was around transgendered people. So they thought that I was just the lesbian that was really, really supportive of transgendered people. But every lover, every partner I ever had after 16, knew secretly that I was transgendered, but it was like this huge secret. It was like, don't tell anyone, you know, don't tell anyone that Christina's transgendered, because, you know, Christina was the femme lesbian walking around, you know, advocating so many wonderful things, saying, be who you want to be, in, you know, preaching these beautiful words. How could that person be closeted? So when I turned 18, lo and behold, I was still a boy, and I was still a man trapped in a woman's body. So got myself into therapy, told everyone I knew after I turned 18, and that's when Hatch found out, which is why Hatch has been so beneficial to me. I honestly say, if it hadn't been for Hatch and for the wonderful people at Hatch, I probably would have never, ever, ever come out. And within time, it was just, you know, it was like overnight what happened. It was, you know, Chris, you know, Christina went, you know, from Christina to Chris, then went from Chris to Christopher, and then here I am now. And the family knows, the friends know, everyone knows. Every day I come out. Every day I have to tell another person I'm transgendered. I live full-time as male. My job knows I'm transgendered. So my life is kind of like gender pronouns flying everywhere. And but it's pretty groovy. You know, it's a lot of fun. But the most important thing that I've learned within my own personal story and how in-depth it has been, I, you know, from age 15 being gay and then 16, it took me less than a year to figure out what was really the case. It escalated and evolved and has shown me very, very much about who people can be and then that those around you are far more accepting than you know. All right, so that's my story.
That I remember...
just to give it a feel...
I remember when you came out to me.
Do you really?
Yeah. Do you remember what I told you when you said that?
Remind me.
I said, oh, you're going to be such a cute boy.
Right, absolutely, right.
You said finally to me.
Yeah, I was like, finally.
Yeah, we were waiting for you. No, I'm just kidding.
I knew that from the day I met
no,
you.
No, one of the most...
not all right.
I had no clue.
One of the...
Are you serious?
Actually, I had... Okay, never mind.
Oh, it's all good. That's good.
I had a little clue, because, like, you were so into, like, being the butch and opening the doors for me, and you were just, like, so, oh, always have to pay the bill and all that, and we would go out, and it was just... I you were just so beyond butch. You were just boyish, and I should have known. Okay, anyway, I'm done. Sorry.
But just to point out that being butch doesn't mean that you're transgender, and being transgender certainly doesn't mean that you're butch. And just like to throw that out there. I mean, I was a femme lesbian, and I'm still very, very effeminate. So people have their own things, and no labels. Don't ever be confined in a label. Don't think that, oh my God, I'm a gay man. I have to be limp-wristed. You don't have to be that. Don't think, you know, in your transition... You know, don't think that, you know, here I am being an FTM and I've got to be these certain things. One of the first things that someone ever told me when I told them that I was transgendered, I told them that my first thoughts about being a man was being a beautiful man, being a gorgeous man. And I said, I want to be, you know, this wonderful, beautiful man, this very, very, you know, pretty, effeminate. And someone told me, you can't be gorgeous if you're a boy. And I said two words, watch me.
So I'm a boy and I'm gorgeous.
Right, absolutely. No definitions, comment. No limits. And I want y'all to share y'all stories because I know they're really good.
Oh my goodness, wow. How am I going to follow up to that?
I know.
It's not a contest, just share.
For real.
I have to
no
be
one's the poster child.
I have to be me and dramatic. No, but...
That's for sure. I'm just kidding.
Honestly, okay, my story, well, I firmly believe that coming out is not one big... process, you know, you constantly come out. You come out every day because, you know, the mailman doesn't know you're gay. So, you know, unless you get literally everyone you know into one room and say, hey, I'm gay. But I guess mine would start when I was about 11 and I was in middle school.
And I met this really cute girl, and she told everyone she was gay, you know. And so I started talking to her because I was just always attracted to someone who was out and gay. And, you know, finally, I went to a private school. It was Catholic school. And we were talking about gays in the class, and they were like, you know, oh, it's bad to be gay. I said, no, because I'm gay. You know, and I'm a good girl, and I'm a good Catholic, and all that, and all that. And that was...
big mistake.
Actually, no. People just looked at me weird, and they were like, ew, you're gay. But I really didn't care. And I tried to take it back because I was just so scared. I was like, what did I just do? And I would do this weird, strange little thing, like dropping... Like, I would tell one person, but keep it a secret. And, of course, they would tell everyone else. I'd tell one, you know, cousin. And, of course, they'd tell everyone else. And so we all knew but never talked about it. And it was sort of like that until I was about 15. Public school, I guess, just totally make me free or something. I don't know. But I'd say this is my one big coming out because it was from the most important person in my life. And that's my grandmother. She raised me single-handedly, and oh, I love her to death. Hi, if you're listening. And I wrote her a letter. I know that's so... but I couldn't say it. And so I wrote her a letter telling her, oh, it's so obvious, I can't believe you didn't see it, but I just want you to know I'm gay, and I hope you still love me. And the way I did it was I wrote the letter, put it in an envelope, and when she dropped me off at school, I threw it into the car seat, and then I ran in the building. And I went to in high school, I went to school at night as well, so I didn't see her until like 10 o'clock at night when I took the bus to her job because I worked with her. I'd help her out. And I came in, she started making small talk, and then she says, blah, 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 and this phase you're going through, and she just smiled at me. And and I was like so chicken crap scared, and I didn't know what to say, and that was sort of my big thing. And then I became this huge, out loud and proud person, and I guess that's sort of my queer coming out story. Well, actually, later, when I was 15, going on 16, I became very close friends with someone who later came out to me as trans. And I had never heard of that before. I mean, of course, I saw drag queens and all that, and you know, you knew transvestites, but hearing transgender, transsexual, it's like, huh? So I did my little research, I was like, wow. And I learned so many things that I could have never guessed. And I ran across pangenderism. Now, me, I'm very high energy, very just all over the place.
Really? No, I'm just kidding.
Shut up, Chris. But I have very, very dominant masculine and feminine qualities. And biologically speaking, I am all female. But I just thought, you know, why do I think I'm a girl? Hmm. Because I have, you know, chick anatomy. You know, I was on the girls' wrestling team, heavyweight. I played every type of sport you could think of. Yet, I love to do my makeup and make myself look pretty for dates and all that kind of stuff. You know, and I just thought, you know, I mean, meeting someone who identified totally against what society totally said they were, I just thought, oh my God, it just... I started coming out as pangendered maybe like a month or so ago, and most people are like, you're a girl, shut up. But you know, it's one of those take it day by day, step by step sort of things. And
I hate to just have to step in real quick and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener sponsored commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Gotta keep us legit.
Don't change your stations. The queers have taken over the radio. I repeat, the queers have taken over the radio station.
No!
The queers of Houston. But I guess sort of that's my sort of coming out story. I'm just a pangendered queer. So, I mean, there's still some people who don't know. But pretty much everyone knows I'm queer. And if they don't, they know now.
If I may put in a comment, if ever you want everyone in high school to know something, tell one person and tell them to keep it a secret. By the next day, everyone will know because gossip spreads like wildfire.
Yes.
Yes,
I have a comment.
to what Aja said about, you know, why am I female because I have chick anatomy? I think basically your sex or your gender is based off more of your mindset, what your mind, what you think, than your anatomy.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback on that, I can't listen to someone talk about sex and gender without saying something. Sex, for clarification, is what is between your legs, and gender is what is between your ears. Who you are and what body you're in doesn't define how you're going to think. And Aja, I loved your story, and your name for your story is Aja's Evolution.
Oh my goodness.
Because you did so many things, you're still evolving. I don't have a title for it, Seth, yet. I'm sitting here trying to think of something. I had this something about CJ, and I've got Aja's Evolution. So, anyways. Josh, last but certainly not least.
Hi, I'm Josh, and
Hi, Josh.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Josh.
Hello, people out there. Well, my coming out story, it's kind of, it's not as upbeat as everybody else, for the longest time, I had been struggling. I had not only been struggling with my, with being gay, but I was also struggling with my weight. My, family, we're bigger people with it, and so basically for the longest time when I found out that I was gay, I looked at what gay was, and to society it's when you see a gay man is somebody beautiful, somebody that's all buffed out and goes to the gym or goes clubbing, and that's what I wanted to be. So I basically stopped eating, and so basically I thought that I would be better, once I looked like everybody else in magazines, once I looked like everybody else, then I could finally take the next step. And so, within about 2 to 3 months, I had lost about 30 pounds. And my mother, she says, "What's happening to you? What's happening?" And one night, she discovered me in my room, and I was crying. And I just... I said, I'll just go back to bed. I just go back to bed. I just try to cover up. I said, I'm okay. I put on my little happy face that I put on for my family. And I said, just go back to bed. And so she's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. What is it? What is it, sweetie? And she's like, are the kids at school making fun of you? Is something the matter with you, sweetie? I noticed that you've lost so much weight. And she was so scared for me when she said that I had lost so much weight. I could hear in her voice like a shattering that I've never heard before in somebody's voice. And I can tell that she was scared for me, and so she just started guessing. She's like, "What is it? Are you trying to fit in? Are you trying to do this?" And so basically, one thing after another, and she has a gay friend. And she says, "Are you like my friend?" And at first I was like, "Do I like him?" That's what I heard, and I was like, "No, I don't like him." And she's like, "No, are you like him?" And there was a long, awkward pause, and I said, Yeah, I think I am. And so she hugged me and she said that she loved me. And she said to get some sleep and that everything would be fine. And so she said that we would wait till my father, because my father, he said when I was younger that he doesn't want a gay son. He doesn't want a queer kid. And so I was, out of all the people, I was terrified of him the most. And to tell him, because I'm the first son and I'm supposed to be prodigal son, everything's supposed to happen, it's supposed to be great, supposed to marry and have the whole dream, the American dream. And so it was later on that year that my mother knew, and one of my teachers at school knew, but nobody else knew. And I felt so much pressure on my shoulders. And so basically I started eating again, and so everything got better. But at the same time I would skip a meal here and there, and because I just didn't feel like eating. I just wanted to go into my room and crawl underneath the covers and just sleep, because hopefully the next day it would be better. And so one day I tried to kill myself, because I couldn't live any longer with this big secret. And my mother found me with a bottle of pills, and so basically we called the ambulance, and I was like, no, let me die. I just can't do this anymore. And so she said, it's okay, sweetie. And she held my hand. And so, after that, I went into a hospital, and they told me that it was okay. And my mother, she basically told my father that she told him about me, because she said that she basically blamed it on him, because he's the one that had the most pressure on me. And so basically when he found out, he's like, it's okay, I still love you, you're still my son. And so after that, I it was still inside the family, it was still inside my mother and father. And then I told my cousin, and she said, she asked me, she says, do you have a girlfriend? And I had grown more comfortable with myself, and I say, no, try the question again. And so she said, do you have a boyfriend? And so I said, yes. And so basically after that, it spread throughout the family, until spread throughout my mother's side of the family. And then I slowly told my other cousins and everybody at school, which everybody at school was like, we already know, we still love you. Yeah, basically. And so basically it, in the end, it was all for the good. Would I take anything back? No, because it shaped me into the person that I am today. And without the past, there is no future. And I just, like Aja said, It doesn't define who you are.
Absolutely not.
It doesn't... Aja and Chris, I should say. It doesn't define who you are. It doesn't say what you can do with your life. And then that's what I believe I learned the most.
Thank you, Confucius.
That's riveting. That was mind-blowing.
The juxtaposition of Josh.
Yeah, that... I want to name your story, trying again, Josh, because of your story about how deep it took you. And something very insightful that you shared with all of us. So we've all got these great stories. And we all look at things really, really positively. We're all really happy people. And underneath this happiness, we've all gone through this huge struggle. And because it takes so much to come into a world where, at first, you're not seen as who you want to be. And it's a very, very beautiful story and very, very touching. And you brought up a really good point about suicide and something about coming out. We wanted to share. We wanted to talk about coming out tips and, you know, about how to come out, about how to come out to, you know, how you want to be coming out in a safe place. You know, being able to take care of yourself. You know, not falling into suicide or addiction or to the many things, depression, all these things that could happen to you because if you're closeted. So I think you brought up an excellent point about them. And I'd like to know if any of y'all have any other advice for anyone else who could be looking for tips or looking for suggestions on how they can come out and to be who they want to be.
If if you are still very reliant on the people you live with, and they are not comfortable with homosexuality or, you know, transgenderism or bisexuality, then don't come out. Because if you don't have, you know, if you are still very reliant on someone and they wouldn't approve and they would want you out, you don't want to have to be forced onto the streets. You need to be able to, you know, get to a place where you could, you know, have someone else or get to where you can take care of yourself first. You know, you don't want to put yourself in any danger.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the most devastating things, if it's not you killing yourself, it's someone else hurting you or someone else taking away everything that you have. You know, with so many stories, you know, Brandon, Tina, with Matthew Shepard, you know, unfortunately, all five of us, six of us, including the facilitator, we are very, very lucky because we are, not to sound goofy, but each and one of you are, you know, you're a pioneer. You are starting an evolution within yourself and within your community. Just by y'all being who y'all are, y'all have touched people. You know, Josh, your family, you know, had heard of it. They had a friend. They had a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have a son. And that educates. And so all of y'all have started very beautiful evolutions. And, you know, y'all aren't done with. Y'all aren't over, you know. The game over, press the button, hasn't been pressed. And, so, you know, we're all very, very lucky.
We should call our show the gay flower. Those are all pioneers, baby.
The gay flower.
that's one thing that I kind of left out was, you know, when I had come out in high school, when I was living up in Ohio, I was gay bashed. I was pushed down about 3 flights of stairs because I did tell my ex, well, my girlfriend at that time, I told her, and everybody else found out, and then next thing I knew, I heard faggot, and I was pushed down the stairs, and which is the cause of many of my back problems right now.
Right. That's a very devastating story. I remember the first time that I heard that story. I didn't know what to think. Because you don't seem like a person who's been attacked. You know, you don't seem like a person who's been, like, outnumbered because of your sexuality, because of your sexual preference. And I know everyone in this room has experienced, you know, shortcomings and inconveniences and emergencies. Is there anything that y'all like to share about maybe something negative that happened to y'all?
Yes. My family, we're from East Texas, and it's sort of backwards and, you know, very Christian and very traditional, and I was raised to be this wife and, you know, all this and all that and all that.
It sounds like Nacogdoches.
Actually, it's Henderson, which is close to Nacogdoches. And, they never really gay bashed. We just never talked about anything gay. But when I finally, sorry, it's coming out right now. When I finally came out to my father, he didn't say, oh, you lesbo or anything like that. But when I would sort of bring it up every now and again, he'd get very negative. And, you know, when I'd say, oh, I met someone, I want you to meet her. He says, no, I'm not going to have that in my house. You know, oh, we can go to some restaurant and talk to me, whatever, but that's not going to be in my house. Or, you know, I used to be very Catholic, and I, would go to church, and I'd go to confession, and, you know, you sit in the little thing with the priest, and, I'd tell him, you know, I'm gay, I'm a lesbian, and, you know, he'd shake his head and all that, and he'd tell me, you know, what prayers to say as if it were sinful and disgusting, and that I needed prayer simply because, you know, I liked women, which I thought was ludicrous. And but I never got anything, you know, physical harm against me, but it was a lot of within my community, within my family, oh, you just need to find the right guy, which we've all heard before, you just need to find the right person, blah, blah, blah. But that's sort of, I'm a person that leans heavily on my friends and family, and not getting support from them really hurt me. I mean, it really hurt me because these are the people that loved me, and they weren't being supportive of who I was and what I was all about. So in that sense, I was harmed, but I luckily never got any sort of beatings or anything like that. So,
like Asha said, I've never been gay bashed, but I bash myself internally.
Oh yeah,
coming out as transgendered, I look in the mirror and just would see myself as a man and really couldn't take the fact that I had a vagina. And is that okay, Sue?
Yeah, so you can say vagina.
And breasts. And I just bashed myself internally. So even if we haven't been externally bashed, I think all of us have bashed ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
That is such a good point. Both y'all, or all three of y'all, or all four of y'all, have explained very, very beautiful stories. And I really like what you said about internal bashing. And that kind of brought us to something else that we want to talk about, was a self-hatred and confusion. And right now I'd like to throw in the GLBT switchboard line just one more time to remind y'all that this is a safe number you can call at any point in time. It's a number that you can call if you're confused or in a rut. Okay, you made me lose my concentration. So Seth, would you remind us of the number?
713-529-3211.
All right, and that's the GLBT switchboard.
I thought of a name for your story.
My story?
If you didn't have a name for it, you're becoming Christopher.
Oh, that's cute. Awesome. Okay, all right. Tears in my eyes. No. No, that's very sweet, Seth. I want to call yours the choice to choose. Because it wasn't your choice to come out. And then, you know, you had that whole thing about how being gay wasn't a choice. It wasn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
even when you had sex with women, you were still gay. And that's a very good point. But, you know, all of y'all are very experienced.
We should all write a book, and each little section will have the name of our story.
Absolutely. Share your story. That's one of the best things that you can do. If you're in a safe spot, of course, you know, don't go shouting whatever makes you different if you're in, like, the fifth ward. You know, that would probably not be the best thing to do. However, to share, you know, to be straight with people, as ironic as that is, be straight with people. You know, be honest. Open. You know, be... Okay, I like to stay straight, but no, be honest with someone, you know, because there are so many ups and downs. There's black and white, and there's, you know, there's gray area and all this. There was a time where we were all confused, and then there's, you know, there's people hurting you, and then there's you hurting yourself. And one of the most harmful things is for you to hurt yourself and for someone to be identified as something different, something that isn't exactly the norm. You know, it can be very difficult and very trying.
I think that no matter who you are, you've experienced self-hatred somehow in your life. Whether it be, like, I don't like my hair today. We all nitpick. We all nitpick. Some of us nitpick more than others.
Whether, like, it's based on vanity or something deeper.
Yes, exactly. Some of us nitpick about our values. Some of us nitpick about who we are. But what we need to realize is that we don't have to do that. We do that because we believe that everybody else is doing it. But half the time, people don't see you as what you portray yourself. They see you as who you are inside. And that is one of the magical things about having a friend, is that they know you on the inside and out. Sometimes family members don't understand, but I know friends are always there. Sometimes they run away, but when they're scared, but most of the time they're always there for you in your time of need. And as everyone grows older, we only help to strengthen those bonds of friendship. Sometimes we lose our friendship. Sometimes we don't see the person as often as we want, but having a friend can save your life. It can basically make you and shape you into a person that you never knew that you could be, because that friend has touched you and your heart in a way that you never knew could change you.
That is so sweet.
Now I'm going to cry.
Yeah, that's very, very touching. And I really like what you said about everyone experiencing self-hatred. Because it's true. It doesn't matter what you are, how you identify. People are self-conscious. People are not only self-conscious, but they're confused. And if they don't like it, they are going to, you know, find ways to cope with that. You're all making hearts. I don't know what we're making hearts at, so I'm a little out of the loop. But,
throw in another comment about the whole friendship thing, along with the self-hatred thing.
Yeah.
When I was 16, the full effect of my post-traumatic stress disorder kicked in. And this was, you know, around the time that I was coming out to all of my family members. And I had an extreme nervous breakdown, and I was hospitalized. And that was probably the biggest time that I was hating myself, because I was depressed. And when someone is a victim of sexual abuse, you know, there's many different things that can happen. I was blaming myself for a while. And that was another reason I hated myself. And again, because, you know, I was gay and I thought that my family was looking down upon me, because they're like, well, God doesn't approve of that, so we don't approve of that, but we still love you. But my best friend Tristan came and visited me in the hospital. And when she saw me, she just came and she hugged me, told me everything was going to be okay. And every time we had visitation, she would come with my stepmom and little brother, and she would come and see me, and she'd tell me how my friends were doing. And she even came to see me when I was in the hospital in San Antonio, and she was living in Corpus Christi, and that's quite a ways just for visitation. And I have never forgotten that. And I don't think she's realized how much that meant to me. But she gave me quite a bit of strength when I had none.
That's very, very touching. Y'all blow my mind. Y'all are so radical, first off. I just think it's so groovy that all of y'all are still here today. And y'all are so open. Y'all shock me so much. I mean, Seth, you just described a very, very long-lasting memory, and you will remember that forever, and that's very, very touching. And that's just incredible.
If in sharing we help someone with their issues and help them to love themselves, then we're all about sharing.
Absolutely. And to kind of touch back on World AIDS Day, you know, what we talked about with that is awareness. And what we have brought out within our coming out stories is awareness. And, you know, there's so many things that you can do and so many things that you can be. And you all have each, we have all pronounced ourselves. Everyone in this room, everyone in this radio station has pronounced not only, hey, I'm here, but hey, I'm here and this is what I am. It doesn't matter if you're gay, it doesn't matter if you're straight, it doesn't matter if you're girl, boy, in between, whatever you are and however you identify. There are no limitations to who you can be and who you want to be.
And love yourself in doing that.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
to touch back more on it, I'd like to point out the ratio of kind of who's in the room right now. We have 6 people in the room, and I'd like to kind of say who each person is and how they identify, if we could kind of do that.
Okay, I'm Josh, and I'm gay.
I'm Aja, and I'm a pan-gendered queer.
I'm Seth, and I'm a gay androgynous male.
I'm CJ, and I'm transgendered FTM.
I'm Dan, and I'm gay.
All right, and I'm Chris, and I'm an FTM. I kind of almost didn't know what I was going to say. I was like, which one do I say?
Right?
Other than being ultra flamboyant and very, very queer.
No!
Yeah, underneath it all.
I feel pretty.
Right, absolutely.
I'm so pretty.
All right.
Some Broadway freaks in here.
Absolutely.
Hey.
I know. Broadway.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
My life is different time. Yeah, absolutely. Well, so main things with coming out, and, you know, though we want you to be yourself, though we want you to be happy with who you are and, you know, live your own life and do your thing, always remain safe. Take care of yourself and take care of your surroundings. Know who you're around. Know who you're telling. Some places just aren't safe.
Know your
audience.
Some
people, yeah, some people just aren't safe. And you'll meet tons of people. And the stories that y'all have now and the stories that we have now are not the stories we'll have in 10 years. And the very, you know, we're all youth, so we're all young. And then the stories that we've accumulated now will only grow. Of the lovers, of the haters, of the people who agreed with us, of the people who were kind of confused with who we were. And I encourage y'all to speak to one another and to continue doing what you do. And everyone has their own way of doing that. Because you're something doesn't mean that you have to go out and be this poster child. When I first came out as an FTM, people were like, say what? Because I was the feminine one. I was the one doing makeup. I was the one, you know, wearing skirts. I was the one, you know, designing outfits, you know. And there are no limitations to who you have to be. And whoever you will encounter. And to kind of like send a shout out to you, CJ, that you're an FTM. I don't really know like where you are in your transition, but I do know in mine, you know, being gay is, you know, it can be very, very difficult. And the thing about transitioning is that it's not just an internal thing when you transition. It's kind of shouting to the entire world, hey, not only am I queer, but look at me, I'm going through change. And the things that you may experience or things that you have experienced, it can be very, very interesting. Being transgendered or in between it all, and it's not just about, you know, being transgendered, you know, butch lesbians and a really effeminate gay men go through this because of how you present your gender identity. People cannot understand at work while I am, you know, Mr. Manager and I'm Chris, you know, why I talk about hair and makeup, why I talk about, you know, doing beautiful art, why I, you know, am very happy, you know, and not just so strong and just, you know, very laid back. I'm, you know, not masculine.
Hey, I love talking about hair and shoes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because you're sad.
And that's groovy. And the beautiful thing about, you know, where we're at and kind of our gay history, because right now we're making history, is that this, and, you know, the gay civil rights, I mean, that was started by transgendered people and butch lesbians. And that, you know, it was, that's what it was, you know, back in Stonewall and all these things. So when you're different, you may get looked at funny. You may get questions. and you may get unwanted answers. But by being different, you change all of your surroundings. And, you know, you're truly changing the world in the way that you want to.
Absolutely. It's all about that. I know with trans people, I see, and I see, they're like, is that a he or a she? I say, it's he or it's she, or they're like, or it's it. I'm like, no, sweetie, it's not it. But, you know, when explaining pangenderism to people, I was talking to my girlfriend, and she called me a woman. I say, no. And she says, so what are you? Are you a guy? I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. And I say, I'm a human being. I'm a person. You know, I know with people and with you, Chris, you know, you're so all about, you know, using certain, you know, terms and pronouns. And it's like, I'm just me. I'm just Oz. I'm just a person. And with people, they do not understand that. They just... That's something they can't comprehend. Something that's different outside of, you know, the normal everyday, you know, way of speaking or way of thinking is like, oh, it's too hard. My brain hurts. Or
absolutely, absolutely.
Or just laziness or simply intolerance, which I simply just cannot stand intolerance. But
she can't tolerate intolerance.
I can't tolerate intolerance, exactly. No, okay. That's me to a T. With things like that, it's simple. It's simply just repeating it. Repeating it. It's Aja. It's person. It's human being. It's, you know, it's why must I be she? Why must I be he? Ooh, can I be both? That would be rock, you know?
Being called a he-she is not fun.
No, not he-she.
I know, I'm just laying with you.
No, she-he. I don't know.
What do you
but
put
then,
he-she
But then
in?
What kind of pronoun would you use for a pangendered person?
Oh, hey, okay. Third pronouns. Okay, new concept to everyone. Okay, there are third pronouns like Z and like Ner, I don't know. But people use it sometimes in place of pronouns.
Yes.
They actually want to start doing this in the workplace so it's not always he. Because back, way back, if you go in history, everything when he talked about a person, it was man and he. Because that was just how they identified. It was how they saw people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to compliment you on your, you know, wanting to be kind of genderless. Because what that does is you are redefining gender. Deb, you know, everyone we wish for today, she's my mentor. She was there since the very beginning. I walked into her office and told her I'm transgender. She was the first adult that I told. And the greatest thing that I'll ever remember and never forget about what she told me, she goes, Chris, you are in such a good position. And as I'm going through the struggle, as people are calling me names, as I'm, you know, experiencing this, you know, suffering of what it was in the beginning, because it's, you know, it's too scary, I was like, how am I in this fantastic place? She goes, you can change and redefine the meaning of gender. And you don't have to be gay, you don't have to be transgender to do that. You know, for women who wear pants, they're redefining gender. Because 30 years ago, that wasn't cool. And just imagine where we'll be in 30 years.
Ooh,
you know.
On a side note, did you know that Mary Tyler Moore was the first woman to wear pants on TV?
That's excellent. So awesome.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Excellent. Wow. The last public speaking engagement I had, I was speaking to high school, and I asked a question. I said, how many women in this room are wearing pants? And everyone kind of looked really funny at me because they knew I came to speak about being transgendered. They're like, why is he asking about the women wearing pants? Not that that's what being transgendered is about. And so everyone looked around and every single woman in that room was wearing pants.
Awesome.
And I said to them, you know, I don't care if you're wearing pants or whatever you're wearing. I don't care, you know, that's me. But 30 years ago, that wouldn't have been okay. And every single woman who's in this room is wearing pants. You have made a difference. Because it's little things like that. It's little things like being effeminate. It's you working at a clothing store.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Seth talking about hair and makeup. You know, it's Aja being pangendered. And it's CJ, you know, just rocking it and working, you know, wherever, you know, CJ is. And that's what the beautiful thing is about it. Okay, I don't know that much about you. So I can't be like, well, TJ's really cool because TJ's bitch. I don't know. So that
putting
was,
on
I
your forgive Stetson.
You. No, thank you. Thank you. But
No, CJ is just really awesome. CJ is almost like the stereotype people see as far as men go because he is really aggressive and temperamental sometimes and
that I am.
he adjusts himself. And all
wow,
that stuff.
Should I be taking lessons?
Teach him how to be a man.
I offer 101 lessons.
Oh, wow.
And I also wanted to throw in one more thought before it leaves me.
Dork.
Earlier when you were talking about all that change and pioneering and stuff, is something you've told me before is be the change you want to see in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. No doubt about it. Life is too short to be someone you're not. You know, and we've all had our times where, you know, people say, well, for 14 years, I lived as someone else. For 17 years, I was a drag queen. You know, that's how I look at it. As being a transgendered FTM, for 17 years, I was a drag queen. I was a man in a woman's body dressing up every day. That's how I look at it. And prideful of that. And, you know, the only way you can change things is if you change yourself and you change the things around you, and not saying that you have to be gay or anything GLBT to change the world. Just be who you are and just do what you do.
Honey, I have a question directed at Chris.
Okay. Chris has an answer.
During the 17 years, when you looked in a mirror, was it hard to look in the mirror?
Absolutely. At certain times, it was very interesting. I've gone through a whole lot of, like, self-discovery phases. In school, like, I grew up, when I was a child, I was very, very feminine. I was running around and stilettos around the house. Didn't like sandboxes, didn't do that whole thing. As I grew up, I was a tomboy. I had the childhood of a boy. My favorite thing was to do and, like, go play football. And then I grew up and became a teenage woman. So I started to kind of try to see how that worked out for me. I remember the first time I put on makeup, I wanted to do it because I wanted to know what it felt like. But I knew it wasn't me. And then I went through this, one of the hardest things I ever went through was this glamorous phase. I never left the house without makeup. And I was really obsessed with it. And now I look back on that, and that was because I really, really enjoy it. One of the greatest things about my transition is I realized, you know, I didn't like wearing makeup. I love doing makeup, and that's what I've done. And I'm making that into a career right now, which is pretty cool. But looking into the mirror as a transgender person can be very, very difficult. Even now when I look into the mirror, I'm still not who I want to be. And then there are always the people that tell me I don't pass. There are the people, when I go to a store, they call me ma'am. Like, I'm okay with that. I can live with that. It's very, very difficult, though, when you go out and people see you differently. When people call me ma'am or when people call me she, I'm like, oh, my God, what do you think I am? A very masculine woman? And I'm like, honey, there's nothing masculine about me. There's, you know, because I'm a man doesn't make me masculine. You know, I am, you know, in my mind, there's this great poet that has this poem called I Am a Manly Man. An entire poem is about being flamboyant. And that's what I am. You know, I'm a manly man. And without the definition of what a manly man is supposed to be, I'm exactly how I want to be. And Aj, I know you've experienced a lot about that, you know, because I like to be, you know, very masculine. I like to be the provider. I like to open the doors. I like to pay for stuff. I like to pay for emergencies that happen.
That's me.
But,
that is CJ, too. I see you pointing.
Absolutely.
I can understand, too, because I have the some of the feminine aspects. I clean house. I bake cakes. I try my best. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how you act. It matters about what you do with your life.
Absolutely.
Oh, and I can relate to that too. I like to consider myself androgynous because I think I have a fair share of both masculine and feminine qualities. You know, I do love shopping, and I am a shoe fiend. It'll take me like 3 hours to get a pair of shoes. Anyway, on the flip side, you know, I like doing rigorous things, getting my testosterone and adrenaline. And I love, you know, being totally aggressive and taking control of a situation. So,
well, as enlightening as that is, my mind is totally in the gutter. So, as on that note, I think we should wrap things up. This has been Hatch Radio. Our hatch line is 713-529. I can't read the last four letters.
3590.
And our website is
www.hatchyouth.org. And once again, the GLBT switchboard number is 713-529-3211.
Oh, I'm so impressed. Alrighty. Well, as we end, I'd like everyone to go around and say their name and say any closing statements that they might like to say.
I'm Josh. I'm Josh.
He's and forgotten I just, who he is.
I don't know. I could be Josephine. I don't know. I'm Josh, and I want to say goodnight, Houston.
I'm Aja, and I want everyone to love their flesh.
Oh, whoa. that's wicked. I'm Chris. My mother is definitely listening to this radio show, so I'd like to give a shout out to her and to other people who are listening.
I'm CJ. I'd like to give a shout out to my mom for being so accepting and for my wonderful wife. I love you.
Aww.
And I'm Seth. Good night.
Right. That's
real
a wrap.
Smooth, real smooth.
Seth using few words. All right, a little bit of RuPaul, Santa Baby. Coming up then, it's Gigi.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
That's right, baby.
I've been an awful good queen.
Very good.
Santa baby, hurry down the chimney tonight.
Santa baby, you better run.
Nine,
run.
Nine.
Don't walk, honey. Oh, and don't forget to bring the cash.
Santa baby.
A lot of miles
like
on my vehicle.
I wait up for you, dear. There's a baby.
Oh my God.
So hurry down the chimney tonight.
Yes,
tonight.
Uh-huh. You was crazy as hell when you came here, but you and your right here mind now.
Think of all the fun I have. Next year, I can be as good.
Oh, yes, honey.
If you check off my Christmas list.
Have it like it is, girl.
Oh, Santa baby.
Honey, listen.
I want a yacht and really that's nice.
That ain't not too long. No,
I've been an angel all year.
I put a lot of miles on my vehicle.
Santa, honey.
I'm not rich, honey.
One little thing I really need.
But if I have the dollars, cash money.
To a platinum mine.
Oh, yes, honey.
Santa, baby.
Listen here.
Hurry on down that chimney, baby, tonight.
I am from Missouri.
Come on down tonight.
I'm from Missouri to show me.
I'm not talking about tomorrow.
No, I ain't talking about tomorrow. I ain't talking about tonight, honey. You hear me? Come here, boy.
Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decoration, my Tiffany.
Not J.C. Penney, I said Tiffany.
I really do believe in you.
You know it's reciprocal, honey.
Let's see if you believe in me.
Cash money, honey.
Oh, Santa baby.
Run, don't walk.
I got to mention one little thing.
Huh?
A ring.
That's right, baby.
And I don't mean on the phone.
That's right. Would you take me
Santa
for a phone?
Baby, hurry on down that chimney tonight, Daddy, if you know what I mean.
Santa,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't want me to get posted on you. Oh, yeah. Tonight. Tonight, honey. Oh, the total package. TP, honey. Oh, Miss Paul
listen,
don't want
listen.
No fake nothing.
Now, you don't want to make me mad.
Uh-huh. Burnt up a mink coat?
No, I'm laughing now, but deep inside, I really need this.
She's okay. She's serious, honey.
Look here. My feet are all swollen.
Uh-huh.
I'm bloated.
You got waterway gain.
And I'm about to get mean.
Uh-oh, mean okay. Miss Charles, honey.
I will get posted.
I've heard, honey.
What, you take me for a fool?
Nobody got a fool.
Listen. Come and trim my...
Trim what?
Christmas tree.
Oh, right.
With a decoration body. Tiffany.
I really do
believe in you.
Oh, I'm a believer, honey.
I
throw down
Mercedes-Benz, Cadillac. Oh, yeah, you can throw a Range Rover in there, too. No, girls, give me the merchandise. You got some money for me? I thought you knew, honey. Deck the balls with silk bikinis. Tis the reason we like queenies. Don we now our gay apparel. Trolls are absent from our carol. It before us. Let's hear from the gay men's chorus. Now we know why they adore us. Trolls are absent from this chorus. Bound beauties. Tis the reason we're unruly. Sex, the only thing we cherish.
Yes, I have an underwear fetish.
Showing our flamboyant spirit. And queens have merit. We try to show our movie magic. Just don't read us, we won't have it.
Sorry, I was distracted for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know. Twinkies. That was the Go-Go Boys with Deck the Balls. I swear there was more. There was naughtier songs on these CDs. I forgot what they were all about. I was teasing Jimmy. I was going to play all the songs that weren't pink highlighted. Because he plays the song. Those are the ones that he would play. And I can't do that, so... No, I got to play the ones that we don't get to play when he's around, but even when he's here, he's usually not here, so I can get away with it. It's too early to do the station ID. Listen to After Hours, though. This is our beginning of our Christmas season. Unlike that obnoxious station further down the aisle, we play the Twisted Christmas songs. Like I said, sometime here we'll be playing the one involving candy canes up each other's butts.
All right.
Next week we're playing one called Fist Me for Christmas. Sung by a lovely little small choir. But it's a group called the Wet Spots. I found a video there someone had sent from another link of their another video song they have. Does He Take It Up the Ass? Sung in a kind of a loungy style. And that'll be coming up in January. Because we're all about Christmas.
Ah.
And Gigi is here.
Yes.
For our discussion on...
sacred sex.
Sacred sex.
And sexual techniques. And tonight I'm doing a book review on the multi-orgasmic man. How any man can experience multiple orgasms and dramatically enhance his sexual relationships.
So basically that's all I want for Christmas is a second.
This book is a lot about learning Taoist techniques to spread sexual energy throughout the entire body and learn how to distinguish between ejaculation and orgasm, and how to be able to have multiple orgasms. For a long time, it's thought that only females could have multiples, but men also can.
Well, because men associate ejaculation
with orgasm.
With orgasm,
and yeah. And they're actually two separate things. You can have an ejaculation without an orgasm, and you can have an orgasm without ejaculation.
And it's
just, for most men, they occur simultaneously.
But when you get that rare time that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, an orgasm, it's not, doesn't happen every time, mm-mm. But when you experience it, it's something that's, you know, I was, long time ago, I played with somebody, and they had what I classified as that, based yeah. off of not just the ejaculation, but, you know, when the arms are flaying and knocking stuff off the coffee, off the end table, that's a little closer to what orgasm is.
Mm-hmm. And it's learning about your body. I mean, there's parts of our body that Western culture doesn't give us much education on.
Yeah.
And
which is where he was able to center his from.
Yeah. And what I like about this book is he kind of starts off saying, you know, the first chapter, the proof is in your pants. Then chapter 2, know thyself. In chapter 3, it is about becoming a multi-orgasmic man. And chapter 4 is knowing your partner. Chapter 5 is on becoming a multi-orgasmic couple. Chapter 6 is on satisfaction guaranteed for women. Chapter 7, yang and yang for gay men. Chapter 8 is before you call the plumber. And chapter 9 is making love for a lifetime. And what I like about this book, the way he's organized it, he starts out with real simple techniques, learning some breathing techniques, learning about how our mind works, how we can have, you know, orgasms without any physical stimulation, wet dreams or through fantasy, and kind of teaches some techniques to learn how to take that sex energy and spread it throughout the entire body. There's some breathing techniques, strengthening your sex muscles, learning how to control ejaculation, and learning how to control your sex energy. I first started getting in touch with some of these Taoist techniques long, long ago. And one of the things I discovered was that I can have a non-genital orgasm. I went to a workshop at a bi conference, and we had a day and a half where we did a sexuality kind of institute. And part of it was based on body electric and out of California. Part of it was based on Taoist techniques, and part of it was based on just having that heart-to-heart connection. A lot of times in our culture, sex becomes a little, you know, too focused on the genitals and on the physical. And so part of sexuality for me gets more into the spiritual side, learning how to connect on that heart-to-heart level.
I'm just saying goodbye to our guests. I'm going to step into Simon Labor. I know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do something legal for a change.
Ah, yes. But anyway, I kind of want to go into some of the details on how one can become multi-orgasmic. And part of that is learning how to control ejaculation and learning how to distinguish between ejaculation and orgasm. And one of the techniques he has people do or recommends in the book is to bring yourself just to that edge where you're about to ejaculate and then stop all physical touch, especially in the genital area, and do some deep breathing and then spread that energy up the chakras all the way throughout the body. There's what's called the big draw, which is a very deeply Taoist technique where you, when you get very close to that orgasm ejaculation, you just stop for a few minutes, clench all the muscles in your body real tight, take a very deep breath, hold it for a few minutes, moments, and then release it and relax. And it can be very effective on having a full body multiple orgasm. What it does is it draws all that sex energy throughout the whole entire body. He has a lot of different, well, the authors have several different techniques that can help out. Some of it is learning parts of the body that most men don't know about. Bringing that sex energy all around the whole body. Learning where you can, some of the techniques to keep from having an ejaculation too quickly. And this is really good for men that tend to be premature. He has a lot of different exercises throughout the book that are very helpful. Things like separating orgasm from ejaculation, learning how to, and he recommends self-pleasuring first, using masturbation before practicing these techniques with the partner. In this, you can really kind of learn some stroking techniques and pressure points in the penis and throughout the entire body that help kind of delay the ejaculation or even prevent it entirely for a time, and then build that energy up, that sex energy, and keep it building and spreading it, drawing it all throughout the body. One of the secrets to stopping yourself from ejaculation is learning to pump your sexual energy, pumping it away from your genitals and up through your spine to the rest of your body. Once you start learning to control that energy and spread it, all of a sudden, it's not just genital focus, it's a whole body experience. And it's one of the things I learned very early on was to spread that energy throughout my entire body and then let the energy flow between me and my partner. And it really does improve this kind of heart-to-heart connection. All of a sudden, you become connected not just with genital sex, but whole body sex. And feel free to join in at any point if you have questions. Many ways to come on in, join us. Many ways to work with sexuality is to get into the sensual, to get into the mind as well as the body, and creating that deep connection between yourself and another person, or just forming a deeper connection with yourself. A lot of this book kind of gives a lot of techniques on how to work sex energy throughout the body. He talks a lot about the microcosmic orbit. And I have experienced these type of orgasms where you spread the energy and build it up and bring it up through your body, through all your chakras, up to the crown chakra. And I've had out-of-body experiences through orgasm. I mean, it can be really incredible. One of the things I also like about this book is that he talks about some of the problems men can have. He's got a chapter called Before You Call the Plumber. and he talks about things like ending premature ejaculation, working with some of the, he's got one section called snake charming, overcoming impotence when you can't quite get it up. learning, and he even has one exercise on for someone that's having problems getting a hard on called soft entry. Enter soft, exit hard. part of the, you know, it's like a lot of men realize this very early. The penis has a mind of its own sometimes. You can't make it do it just by thinking about it or trying to. But he does have some techniques that work really well on working with the penis and learning the wisdom of the penis, how it works, why it sometimes has a mind of its own, and it's a good check and balance. He talks about some of the things that could be going on, like physical exhaustion or having maybe some subconscious feelings that are interfering. And there are some techniques that can really work to get things working again, which can be very beneficial. Another area that he goes into in the book is on testicle massage. And a lot of men, well, for young men, you know, we're born, and when adolescence hits, you know, we start off at our peak, and by mid to late 20s, we start declining in our sex energy. We don't have, like, I remember when I was very young, I'd have like six orgasm ejaculations, one right after the other, nonstop. as I've gotten older, it's not quite that way anymore. I don't just go. I can, though. But it takes a little bit more work.
Do you think that's caused from age?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you read Kinsey, Masters and Johnson, all the sex research researchers have shown that for men, they really peak from adolescence on into their mid to late 20s. And then there's a slow decline till old age. It's not like it drops way down, but there is some decline. The body's getting older, the cells aren't as vibrant, even hormones aren't produced at the levels as we get older that they were when we were hitting adolescence and early 20s. And so one of the things that he recommends is doing a daily testicle massage. When you massage the testicles using some of these techniques, it helps the testicles produce more male hormones. It's a kind of deep tissue massage technique where you squeeze the testicles and really massage them almost to the point where it's not quite painful, but almost. And then there's another massage technique where you do a tapping with your fingers. You hold them and tap on them. And if you do this every day, especially for older men, it will increase your testosterone levels. Not immediately, but through practice over a few weeks, you'll start noticing a difference.
Then you'll get more of a testosterone level.
Well, testosterone is a very powerful hormone. It's what gives both men and women a very high sex drive. If you've got lower levels, or it's one of the big contributors to a high sex drive. If you get lower levels, then your sex drive declines. For female to male transsexuals, when they first get on testosterone, male hormone therapy, they can't believe the impact it has. It's like this surge of sex energy. So testosterone plays a big part in male sexuality. It gives a lot of the drive. And even women have some amount of testosterone. They have, without it, you just don't have the drive. It's a pretty amazing hormone. There are some things that he goes into as far as physiology. The prostate gland is also another important gland that often gets overlooked by a lot of men. And there are ways to have prostate stimulation without necessarily going into the anus. There is what he calls the million-dollar point. It's this little dimple right at the root of the penis. You reach down the perineum almost to where the anal opening is. It's right before you get to the anus. And if you massage that very deeply, then you'll get some indirect prostate stimulation. And that's very important to male physiology. The prostate gland is one of the glands that helps produce a lot of the fluid that comes out in ejaculation. Also with, you know, and I've seen studies on this, men that get more prostate stimulation tend to have a lower incidence of prostate cancer and prostate problems later in life. So getting a lot of stimulation can really help out there. Huh?
Can help out a lot.
Oh, yeah. And basically, having a good sex life is very beneficial to health overall. And he's even got some exercises on helping your prostate gland. One of them is to exhale completely, at the same time lightly contracting your perineum and anus. Inhale, and then as you exhale, picture your prostate, which is just above your perineum, and contract your PC muscles around your prostate. Inhale and relax. And repeat this exercise around 18 times per day. And what that does is it gives you some of that stimulation internally that can really help with your sex drive and with your sex life. I mean, I think that's what I like about this book so much, is that throughout the whole thing, he gives different exercises that you can do to improve your sex life and to become a better lover and to have better orgasms, more orgasms. And one of the things that even for men that can't get a hard-on because of medical reasons can still benefit. You don't necessarily have to have an erection for a lot of the things in this book. I've been experiencing Taoist and tantric techniques pretty much all my adult life since I was in my early 20s. But this book was one of the first books I came across that really kind of gave a step-by-step. I kind of got it in this hodgepodge fashion. A little bit here, a little bit there. But this gives a really good kind of step-by-step way to really improve your sex life. I know that I'd learned long ago some techniques on deep breathing and how that helps with your sexuality. Learning how to breathe, because a lot of times, especially when we're getting in the heat of the moment, we tend to breathe very shallow and rapidly. And when you start learning new breathing techniques, taking deeper breaths, then that also helps spread that sex energy out of the genitals throughout the whole body. Doesn't keep it concentrated there.
And you can enjoy the moment of the sex a lot better.
Yeah, well, it's not just enjoying the moment of sex a lot better, it's having sex become a whole body experience. For so many men, it's so focused just on the penis or in the anal area for gay men. And so the rest of the body becomes dormant when it comes to sex. Once you start learning how to spread that energy and work that energy throughout your entire body, then all of a sudden you can have full body orgasms. I've had orgasms where every cell in my body was like, woo, alive. One of the things that really took off for me was learning how to control orgasm. Because especially when I was younger, I tended to be a little trigger happy. Fortunately, I could keep going, you know, without much of a decrease. I think partly being hermaphrodite, I didn't get that usual decline that a lot of men get right after right after ejaculation. And so I could ejaculate and then not even stop, you know. But as I've gotten older, once I ejaculate, it does take a little bit longer now to get back into it. And I know a lot of boyfriends I've had have said, you know, right after they come, they can't receive any more stimulation for a little while. Well, I've never had that problem. I can still stimulate, and it doesn't become oversensitive for me. Whereas I know a lot of my boyfriends, it's like, once I come, it's like,
that's it.
Okay, stop. Or may not be it for the night, but it was it
until they went
through the resolution phase. And
just got stimulated again.
Yeah, and rebuilt the energy. And that's one of the other things about this book. When you start learning how to have orgasms without ejaculation, you can have orgasm after orgasm, and you don't get that decline that a lot of men get after they ejaculate. Now, he does tend to be a little bit biased in this book. He tends to be anti-ejaculatory ejaculation. And, you know, I know that a lot of Taoist techniques do play down the ejaculation. You know, it's good to have them here and there, but they tend to want to keep it very rare thing and really focus more on having non-ejaculatory orgasms. And that I don't quite agree with in this book, so there is some bias. He also seems to have a little bit of a bias towards being monogamous, and that's another area that I kind of read over that part and move on, because I'm very poly.
I'm surprised you're even able to say the word monogamy.
It's hard sometimes. I can say it, I just can't do it.
It's like Christianity. You can say it, but you don't have to believe it.
Right.
Have you ever tried to do it?
Oh, I did try with a boyfriend for 6 months, and I tried it with a girlfriend for 6 months, and both times I felt like there's a void in my life. You know, I can't just throw one whole gender out the window, so to speak. And I think partly in my own sexuality, for me, I have so many different diverse interests, no one person can meet them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm into BDSM, I'm into boys, I'm into girls, I'm into all kinds of kinky things, and even vanilla stuff from time to time. And so it's just not a possibility for one person to meet all my needs.
Yeah.
But I do like the way it gives, you know, if you can kind of get beyond his bent on non-ejaculation and his bent on monogamy, this is an excellent book. But you do have to read parts of it with a grain of salt.
Where is it available? Where can one?
I'm not sure. I got this copy years ago. And they probably carry it. I got it at Half Price Books, so you could probably get it there. But I'm sure online you can get it through many different sources. I think the other thing I like about this book is he does talk about, and a lot of books on sexuality kind of don't address some of the issues as you get older. So this is a really good book for people that are aging, you know, getting up, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and how to keep sexuality alive and vibrant throughout your entire lifetime, not just when you're young. And I've seen a lot of books that kind of weasel out and say, well, after a certain age it just happens this way. You have to live with it. But in this he gives step-by-step ways for older men to revitalize themselves
so that you can revitalize and you don't have to say, I just have to live with it this way.
Right. And he even gives techniques for people that, because they're on certain medications or whatever, can't get an erection, he gives techniques on how to be sexual even without an erection and be able to enjoy sex without an erection. And there's some very good techniques. And once again, it's learning breath control, learning how our mind plays a big part in sexuality. I know that I'm able and have always been able to have an ejaculation just through a fantasy with no touching whatsoever. But it's learning the breathing and how to work, you know, developing my sex body, doing PC muscle exercises daily and working that energy. And with a little bit of work, any man can, at any age, can experience a very good sex life independent on their ability to get an erection. So I think that's one of the things I really liked about this book, was he does address some of the problems and gives some answers and solutions and exercises to work around them. So it's a really good book.
Do you teach any of these techniques in the sacred sex temple?
Oh yeah, definitely. And in fact, I do workshops during the daytime, during festivals, where we have, I do one workshop called Body Image Healing and Sacred Sex, and a lot of these techniques I build into that, as well as doing that heart-to-heart connection. And body image can play a big part on our sexuality. If we have a negative kind of view of our own bodies, or a sex negative attitude, that can play a part in diminishing sexuality. Once you start opening new doors and learning how to have a more heart-to-heart connection, then all of a sudden you kind of open the door to more healthy, you know, attitude plays a part in everything.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a bad attitude, it's going to affect everything. If you have a really good attitude, then it's going to also impact on everything.
It's going to be positive, and it's going to be a good experience.
Right. So, for me, you know, it's really all about learning techniques and learning about really good information on sexuality. You know, we have such little sex ed in this culture, and what little there is, it doesn't really go into much depth, nor does it really cover much as far as how to really receive give and receive pleasure. A lot of sex ed in this culture is more about the mechanics and about procreation and about stick this and slot B and gets into some of the positions and this and that. And not to knock it, I mean, having good physical positions can have an impact, but that's still at that surface level. This goes much deeper into that more spiritual realm of sexuality and gets into the that heart-to-heart connection. And I think, you know, and I don't know how many are familiar with Joseph Kramer. He was the one that first started Body Electric, and he's put out some good films on Taoist and Tantric sex techniques. And he started it as a healing for gay men with AIDS, doing genital massage and massage therapy to learn how to heal the body and the mind and the spirit, to recreate that connection again. And through sexuality, it becomes even more potent. And much more of a healing force. And so one of the things he does is he works, you know, with some of the exercises they do through Body Electric and through some, and even some of the films he's put out, is reforming that connection with one another, that deep heartfelt connection, not just keeping sex on a physical level, but bringing it to a more spiritual and emotional and mindful level. And so I think, you know, this book is a good tool, but it's not all there is out there. There's many other sources. I know that one of the movies that Joseph Kramer put out is called Fire in the Mountain, and it's about male sexuality. He also put out one called Fire in the Valley for female sexuality. And I think both are very good movies that go together well with the multi-orgasmic man and some of the principles in here, in this book. But But anyway, I think it's time for a music break. And when we come back, I'll do a little bit of a recap on the multi-orgasmic man.
All right. Another one of those little naughty songs that Jimmy doesn't have pink highlighted.
Ah.
going to go with a little bit of What Price Glory. And we'll be back on After Hours.
Felicidad, respeto a mi infelicidad. Feliz Navidad.
Didn't tell you I was bringing the mic up. That was Elvez. Elvez doing Feliz Navidad. That's from the Elton John's Christmas Party CD. And the other song was a dedication to a Senator Craig called What Price Glory? With the infamous line, Glory Hole. Yes, I am evil, if you people haven't guessed yet. Without paying attention, I'm known as the evil one.
Oh, I heard it.
We knew that about
you. So, back to Gigi.
Yes. We've been talking about the multi-orgasmic man. How any man can experience multiple orgasms and dramatically enhance his sexual relationship. And in this book, he does go into some of the sexual secrets from the Tao and from Tantric, and really kind of gives some good step-by-step exercises. The one thing he doesn't cover really well in the book is some of the different stroking techniques and stimulation techniques. And that's where I would recommend the movie Fire on the Mountain, because in that movie they do demonstrate it really well. And that's put out by Joseph Kramer. The Multi-Orgasmic Man is written by Mantak Chia, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, and Douglas Abrams Areva. And I may be hardly mispronouncing this. But I do recommend the book and the movie both for men that want to learn more about male sexuality and how to experience a much deeper sex life, a much better sex life. Being able to have full body and multiple orgasms instead of just the wham bam thank you ma'am or wham bam thank you sir. And so you know, and these are practices that have been developed and been practiced in China and India for thousands of years,
so they really go way back.
This is stuff that's been developed over centuries in societies where sexuality was not so was not considered a sin and was not considered evil. In fact, it was celebrated and looked at as a very positive force, and where sexuality and spirituality were, some, you know, they weren't opposite ends, like in our culture, where sex is considered an evil, or and sex is never considered something spiritual. But anyway, I do highly recommend The Multi-Orgasmic Man, with a grain of salt in spots, especially around the monogamous, has been on monogamy and has been on not having very many ejaculations. I think having ejaculations has always been big in my store, but and I think it varies from person to person. We're all built a little different, but he gives a lot of exercises, and some of them I worked through and didn't do much for me. Others were like, wow. So, but everybody's different. You have to try different things and see what works for you. They're all wired differently.
They look very interesting, the yeah. different stimulations too.
Oh yeah. So he does go through a lot of good techniques in this book, the authors. And it gives some, you know, they get a little bit into the tantric as far as different positions. But for the most part, they get into not just the physical, but the kind of mind-heart connection with the body. And so that really helps in learning how the body works and how it's all so integrated together. So with that, I think I'm going to turn it over to the round table.
Okay. All right, time to get off those websites. All right, we're going to... My glasses down.
So, yeah. So you can see what you're doing.
You know, a couple of weeks ago on the round table, we were talking about a guy in England who got arrested for having sex with a bicycle.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Well, guess what? In Canada, there's a guy who is into cars.
Really? Into cars.
Well, fortunately not. You know, when he burns himself on the tailpipe, that's when it's time to worry. But Sandy Wong gets turned on by expensive and classic cars, motorcycles, and women with big feet, and he really likes to expose himself in public. Unfortunately, the 45-year-old Edmonton, Canadian man's sexual deviancy has led him to pleasuring himself while sitting on the roof of cars, including a BMW on display at the Home and Garden Show at the Northlands AgriCon.
Yes.
Wong was previously sentenced to 90 days in jail, which he's already served in pretrial custody, and was put on probation for 2 years after pleading guilty to 3 counts of indecent exposure, 2 counts of mischief,
a sex offender,
and 2 counts of obstructing a police officer and theft.
You think the car was offended?
I think the person who spent $1,000 on the wax job
might have been offended. Yeah.
I spent all that money to get my car Simonized, and this guy comes out and sodomized. Security eventually detained... Oh, here we go. Here. Court heard that Wong was observed checking out 3 BMW vehicles on display at the Home and Garden Show, and was seen sitting on the roof of a 2007 BMW 328i sedan, valued at $50,000. Shortly after that, Wong had dropped his sweatpants to his ankle and was spotted masturbating while sitting with his legs dangling over the driver's door window.
Well, I guess the price of the car went down. Well,
somebody went down on something.
Security eventually detained Wong until police showed up and a cleanup crew had to wash down the BMW. According to a psychiatrist, Wong said he is sexually attracted to the BMW's rooftop because it's curved like a woman's body. The sex appeal. It felt good. The psychiatrist said that Wong reports he gets aroused by other cars, including a 67 Camaro and the 55 Chevy Bel Air, and blames the owners for buying the cars because it tempts him to pleasure himself.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Always the victims. He also has a sexual captivation with motorcycles. Huh?
Well, I just thought I'd come back in here. I felt kind of lonely in there.
Yeah, shut.
Nobody else is here. Everybody left.
Yes. Here's a cute little story. Our wonderful friend there, Pat Robertson.
Oh, what?
Well, you've heard of the NAFTA Highway, and I always thought the NAFTA Highway was supposed to, was being called I-69. But apparently it's called I-35.
Okay.
But Pat Robertson is saying that God... I'm sorry, there's two syllables in that. God.
God.
Is using I-35 to rid the USA of gay sin.
That's funny.
According to Pat Robertson...
This ought to be good.
God is using the superhighway I-35 that runs from Canada to Mexico through the Midwest to purify America from sin. He says, I-35 is the highway spoken of in Isaiah 35:8. And a highway will be there, and it will be called the Way of Holiness. I figure if I'm going to read scripture, I need to talk like that. So,
anybody check that man for Alzheimer's?
So evangelical Christians have set aside 35 days to use the cities around I-35 to rid America of sin, meaning abortion clinics, gay bars, strip joints, and porn shops. God is using these purity sieges to set America free.
Oh, good luck with that.
Well, I'm glad we're not on I-35.
Okay. Now, there. Yeah. I will volunteer to work Waco because it's already been done. I think, though, when you get up towards Big D.
Yeah.
Or down to Austin.
Austin.
San Antonio.
That's going to be a rather larger project.
Apparently.
Especially Austin.
Yeah, it's working. Homosexuals like James Stabile, a drunk gay who stumbled across a purity siege, was cured when a pastor touched him and yelled, "Fire!" Stabile said, "I didn't feel the desires to be with men like I had before. Shazam!" Oh, that Shazam's not in quotes, so...
Well, you know, he must have been long.
So,
sobered up on the
chair. Yeah.
Just depends where
the preach. He found God, and so did that guy who got caught with down on his knees in the bar. Right.
Let's...
Give me a break.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Here's an interesting thing. Mississippi Senator Trent Lott has resigned.
Yes, he has.
But the question is, is Benjamin Nichols the reason?
Benjamin Nichols is hot.
Benjamin Nichols is $2,000 a night.
Hello.
Hi.
Benjamin Nichols is a
escort,
high quality, lovely reviews, originally based out of San Antonio. I just couldn't afford the prices.
Why is it always the frilling Republicans?
So it,
those are gay.
Apparently, you know, his decision to retire only 1 year after re-election, many people saw as a rebound from the Throm Sturman birthday scandal that caused him to lose the majority leader status, had some scratching the heads. But apparently...
It looks like he's got a clamshell on his head. Anyhow.
Part of the reason... A site called Big Head DC is saying that the boy happens to be real, and his stage name is Benjamin Nichols. One of the politicos Big Head DC has learned he's to have alleged to have been involved with is the married Senator Trent Lott, who unexpectedly announced his retirement on Monday.
Oops.
Lott has been well known to be against a plethora of gay rights issues throughout his terms in Congress. He's also good friends with Senator Larry Craig.
Oh, that's what it is.
You know, if the Republicans would just get off the frelling religious kick and go back to politics and you know, important issues, and maybe... We wouldn't have to worry about what the Republicans are doing behind closed doors.
The interesting thing is, you know, knowing of Trent Lott's extracurricular activities in college, I am surprised that I have not seen anybody make the joke that this would turn into a wonderful movie called But I'm a Cheerleader, Part 2. Because Trent Lott was a cheerleader in college.
Yeah.
If you remember that from the Michael Moore television series, The Awful Truth, when he did a show on gay rights issues and got eight gay men, painted a Winnebago pink and called it the Sodom Mobile. And their first stop was at Trent Lott's home, where they got out dressed as cheerleaders, saying, you know, you used to be a cheerleader in college. You should understand what gay people.
Yeah.
So, but I know it came out briefly, then kind of stopped there. But you know, Benjamin Nichols is. He's not one of the cheap ones.
He is hot, though.
Yeah. It got plenty of good reviews.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have a song for if there is a God, he's a queen.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the Republicans need to figure that one out. It just gets me that statistically speaking of the scandals, it's always the statistically speaking, the larger number of scandals having to do with sexual issues land on the Republicans' doorstep.
I think it's because of the hypocrisy of it.
Yes,
what elevates it?
Oh, God is yes.
When you just make the comment that you know it's right wing rabbit conservatism that causes homosexuality. Phyllis Schlafly's son, Sonny Bono's daughter, Newt Gingrich's sister. You know, once when Ronnie Reagan finally comes out and gives up,
there you go. Yeah. Maybe after Nancy goes.
Yeah, she may not be able to handle it right now.
Go ahead, Ronnie, announce it. Kick her off faster. That might kick her out of this world right there. She'd be like,
sorry, I'm having trouble reading the screen.
Jane Wyman died this year.
Yeah.
His first wife. Ron Sr.'s first wife.
There's a drag bar in Manila using interesting pictures to advertise it. Harry Potter in a dress. Darth Vader wearing
Princess Leia's outfit.
And Superman wearing
Wonder Woman's outfit.
Hi.
Kind of twisted, but...
Did these guys get a clue from Robot Chicken?
That could be a... that could
Sheesh.
Be a part on that, but...
Wow.
Let's see.
World AIDS Day, weird stuff in the news, and Travis's birthday, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God, he's actually old enough now to go into the bars, isn't he?
He turned 20 this year.
Oh, still not. Okay.
Oh, Travis, political boy. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Don't forget he is a twin, though. He has a twin, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rummaging around. Ooh, who's
that? That's the victim, that's the attacker.
And what was the...
It was a gay bashing murder that occurred in South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good goddess. Why is it always the guys who look like skinheads? It's always the guys with the bald heads.
Anyway, he's kind of cute, though. That's the problem I have. You know, he's good for those bad boys.
Yeah, but those are the kind of boys you just want to... You know they're jerks, so you just want to bend them over and make them scream. They want to beat up on fags? We'll teach them a thing or two. Just a thought.
They can make me scream any day now.
A mouse running across the floor could make you scream, virgin.
No, I'll just scream.
And of course, as gay men, we have to be glad to say that... the strike for Broadway is over, so...
Yes, the Broadway strike is over. Now if we could get the other one over with, because, you know, there's only so many repeats you can watch before you go and see. Although that whole Jay Leno thing showing the stuff from 10 years ago is kind of, you know, 10 and 15 years ago is kind
of... Well, Jay Leno's in a little bit of a pickle. He's not very well-liked right
He's
now.
He's got a head like a pickle. What I mean, but
no, he... where Conan O'Brien is going... NBC said they're going to stop paying the extras, you know, the people who are on strike at the end of this week. Well, Conan O'Brien said, I'm going to pay these people salaries to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno fired everybody.
Uh-oh. Whoops. That's going to make him real popular.
Well, the bad part is this. He told everybody that you're getting their Christmas bonus early. And their Christmas bonus...
Just for the record, that does not qualify as a Christmas bonus. Getting fired is not a Christmas bonus.
Well, it was a Christmas bonus slash severance package.
Severance package, apparently, so. Yes.
All right, we're coming to the end of the show. And one thing, you know, as we've always said, we do the traditional Christmas songs during December. But there's another tradition we've done for the past 3 or 4 years. And that's during this month, we end the show with a song, and it's a song that's important for the season. It's a song that's important for the times we live in. And John sang it. John Lennon sang it first, but because of our show and who we are, we have Melissa sing it.
Yes.
So as we conclude the first of our 5 December shows, we bring you Melissa Etheridge. Happy Christmas, peace on earth. Sorry, it's Happy Christmas, War is Over, yes. And we will be back next week.
This is Christmas. So what have you done? Another year over, and a new one's begun.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dennis Kucinich, candidate for President of the United States.
Go Vegan Texas is honored to present presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich live. Tune in Monday, December 3rd from 10 to 11 a.m. Dennis will be talking about the need for a governmental department of peace and nonviolence. Dennis says peace must be made central to our existence. Also, learn about the secret to creating peace on Go Vegan Texas, Monday morning, 10 to 11. You are listening to KPFT Houston.
Hi, my name is Gus Garza. I'm from the program by London Texas.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.